If you know, you know. This is a very smutty book I'm about to read a quote from, so be warned. It wasn't a monster come to eat me. It was this monster who's come to eat me out.
Welcome, I guess, to the Busy Girls Book Club. I can't even take this seriously already. We are bringing you all the TikTok viral books and letting you know whether or not you should read them. And as you can tell from our opening quote, this one is a TikTok doozy. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Casey. And today we are doing a book that has actually become very persistently famous and popular on BookTok.
Somehow.
Yes, I think it started actually like over a year ago, maybe a few years ago now, but it's actually like slowly but surely picked up steam over the years. It is called Ice Planet Barbarians. And honestly, I don't know that I even have to describe the plot because it's exactly the way it sounds. It is very campy, ridiculous, like very purposefully just crazy romance book about a human woman who is abducted by aliens. The aliens are basically trafficking humans. It's a group of women, so they assume they're being sex trafficked. And then something goes wrong with the aliens who are trafficking them, and they crash. The group of women crashes onto this ice planet, and they meet barbarians. And it's a really smutty romance. So, yeah. Do you guys have reviews?
I have so many.
Yeah. I have so many, too. Oh, my God.
We just take turns reading different ones.
Yeah, yeah, we should. The one-star reviews are so good. So
honestly, funny. Even the high ones are
the high ones are funny, too, because they're just like, I shouldn't be rating this high.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll start because this one star could have been written by me. I read it for the meme, okay? It was a dare. Mind your business.
I have a one star also that says, was it good? No. Did it make me uncomfortable? Yes. Did I enjoy the experience? Absolutely.
I have a one star. I wish I could unread what I just read. I also wish I had an explanation for why I even wanted to read this book in the first place, but I don't. Anyone who rated this book higher than one star needs some serious psychological evaluation. Let me end this review with a quote from the book, because if I had to suffer, so do you. And of course, it's the quote we read at the top of the episode.
Here's a four star. It's longer, but I'm only going to read the first sentence. If this book is trash, then I'm an effing raccoon.
That's so good. Oh, my God. I have a very simple one-star review. It's just, what is wrong with me?
Yeah. I have another simple one star. The most I can say about this is that I brought it on myself.
Three stars. I gave it three stars because it is a super interesting concept, but it was written pretty poorly. I want to read this concept, but written by Sarah J. Maas.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. If this book is so plotless, putting SJM into it, I can't even imagine this book with like an actual like plot twists, like world building.
The joy of the book is that it's plotless with no character development or world building. That's the whole joy of it.
Yeah. Catherine, is it your turn or is it my turn?
I think it's my turn. I have just one more review, so then I'll tap out. I mean, there's others that are just say help. But this is kind of a longer one star review, but I thought it was funny. It says, was this absolutely terrible? Yes. Yes, it was. Riddled with plot holes, lackluster world building, insta-love, stilted dialogue, and why give a man a tail and horns if he's not going to use them?
Oh my God.
However, am I also on my way to read the second book? Yes, yes, I am. I will be taking no further questions on the state of my mental health. Thanks.
I love that.
Oh.
This is just an episode of me and Casey giggling while Caitlin just gets red in the face.
Okay, to be fair, I was out shoveling snow all day. I'm red for other reasons, but there may be some awkward blush in there too.
Okay, well, I have another very simple one. One star, started as a joke, ended as a regret.
Fair.
3 stars, sure, why not? And I'll give you also 4 stars that says, thanks, Book Talk.
Yep. Okay, I have 2 more. One star, that is, I think this book has made me a worse person. So, LOL. And then 5 star, and all it says is, I thought that this book was good.
There is something out there for every reader, and every reader has different tastes. I think that is something we have all learned while doing this podcast.
Yep. No, I love it. I felt like she just read the other reviews and was like, I like it.
There are lots of people who like it because the overall Goodreads rating is 3.6 out of 5, and the overall Amazon rating is 4.2 out of 5.
Yeah.
And yeah, really that's high. Also coming from a Kindle Unlimited book. So that's where it's getting a lot of its reviews is going to be Amazon. So people like it.
And also, to be fair, this book has had a couple of different reprints now where I think it was self-published originally. And then it got like a full publishing rebrand where they did the, you know, the thing that they're doing for romance novels where they make the covers less sexy and make it more like discreet. Cutesy. They did that with this.
Interesting.
Yeah, to be fair, my Kindle Unlimited cover still the
heating out.
Horrible. Yeah. No, mine too.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first on their star review?
You know, I wouldn't mind going first.
Yeah, let's do Casey.
Okay, guys, I gave it 3 stars.
Oh my god.
So I feel like this book broke my brain a little bit. I also want to start by saying, first off, I love campy media. Like, I love campy movies. So, like, I love the Twilight movies. I love Mamma Mia. I love movies that are weird and don't make sense. And they're just kind of doing what they want because they're just like, fuck you. We want to do this. And this is the movie. And I honestly have never really read books like that. I'm genuinely like didn't totally know that they existed. And so normally when I'm reading books, I just can't stop thinking. Like, I'm thinking about the book. I'm thinking about the plot. I'm thinking about the world building. I'm like asking questions in my head. And you talked about this before that I just don't really have a version of reading where I just sit back and relax and enjoy it. Like, I've never experienced that before. And I finally experienced it. Like, this book is trying to do so little that there's like almost nothing to even like critique. I mean, you can critique lots of it and we will. And there are things I had problems with. But it was like, it's actually not trying to do anything. It's not trying to be good. Every other book in the universe is trying to be good. This book is just bad. And it's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're just writing a bad book. We're not going to do...
Does an author write a bad book to then write 21 more of them?
People read them. Why not? I feel like this author is just doing it for shits and giggles. Like,
probably shits and giggles and money.
Rich.
Yeah. She's like, people are reading it. I like doing this. Whatever. Because there's no world building. There's no character building. The book does not make sense. It's full of lines of dialogue that are just obscenely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just loved it that it was just like, fuck you. This is the book. We're doing books like this. So get over it. And I just, I don't know. I couldn't rate it higher than 3 stars because it's still objectively bad. But I also sort of just enjoyed reading it and enjoyed the ridiculousness of it all. And so honestly, I was entertained.
Okay, I'm going to go next because I agree with Casey and I rated it 3 stars.
So we listen and we don't judge.
So, yes, this book is objectively just bad. Like, it's not good. But did I pick it up and did not put it down and read it all in one sitting? Yes. Yes, I did. Did I then proceed to pick up the second book and read it that same night and finish it in one sitting? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Because I just, like, it ended on a cliffhanger and I was kind of like, you know what? For shits and gigs, the second book's even shorter. I could probably finish this in, like, an hour. And I did. And yeah, brain rot, like literal brain rot. I have nothing to critique about this book because it just rotted my brain in the best way possible. And it's like just funny. Like I was giggling the whole time because I was like, this is just ridiculous. Like, what is going on here? And you know what? I feel like this wasn't a waste of my time. I actually was enjoying myself. Enjoy the like ridiculousness. And Caitlin's going to be so mad.
No. I have a lot of thoughts. I'm not mad.
I'm disappointed.
No, like, okay, I would have maybe given this 2 stars because honestly, like if I'm rating it the same way I rate any other book, like it's not good. Like
no, it's
bad. Quality
no,
of it's writing.
It's probably the worst rating it
like any book. It's not good.
Yeah.
Probably I lost a whole star for the fact that it opened with her getting raped by the love interest.
Yeah.
And how it ends. I'm like,
section. I don't know.
It ends with one of my least favorite things. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, trigger warning. She hints the opening quote. You could probably guess what was happening. But that, like, I was like, why? The shock value, why? That put me off like immediately.
Yeah,
I was never put on, so just kind of was like, okay, mindless.
I was trying to be open-minded, okay, but then it opens in the crash land, and then you get the quote we read at the beginning, and I was like, oh, and she liked it? Question mark.
I do. I have more to say about this part too, but I feel like we should probably do it the spoiler section.
Yeah, probably. That's not spoiler, guys. That literally happens in the first like 15% of the book. So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, 1 star for me because, ew.
Yeah.
I knew that Caitlin was going to have a time with this book.
Yep.
If we are rating it like we rate any other book, this book cannot get more than a 2 from me.
I mean, yes, it's a 1 star if I'm rating it like every other book, but I've accepted that this is on its own planet.
It's different. Clearly. It's different to me,
baby. Clearly on its own planet.
It's the worst written book I've ever read, and I just liked it.
This is just someone who has Avatar fantasies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, the descriptions of their skin and stuff, I was like, oh,
the only difference is they have horns.
Weird. I was like, oh, you are so weird. You're a weird girl.
And they don't use their tails.
Nope.
It is Avatar smut.
Yes.
All right. Well,
don't ask me this question.
Is it more plot or character driven?
Neither. I have no fucking idea.
I mean, there's technically
a plot,
like it's a plot driven book, but the plot is such a joke. Like it's actually a complete joke. And so there's really nothing.
Yeah.
It's guys, this is as close as you can get to reading porn.
It is.
Yes.
It actually, okay, I feel like people always make fun of porn for being like just stupid half-assed storylines, right? Like a guy shows up with a pizza box and then the woman is like, oh, I don't have any money. Like I feel like that's like the stereotypical like quote-unquote plot like narrative. And that's exactly what reading this book is like, is it's just like the most propped up like non-plot that is just there to like prop up sex, like that's the only reason.
Okay, so plot driven. would you read any other books by the author, Catherine?
I already have. I'm not gonna read anymore though. I'm done after the second one.
She apparently has another series too, and I saw a review that said this just didn't start with the bang that the other series started with. I was like, excuse me, what does the other series
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a crazy thing to say. Honestly, I'll be honest, I would read the second book because Catherine mentioned this book ends on kind of a cliffhanger, and there's so little world building. Instead of like one book being a whole plot, it felt like one book was just like one scene.
Yes.
Because in a regular book, this would be like the first 2 chapters and not like the whole book. And so I'm just like interested in like a more complete story and a more complete idea of the characters, because the point they leave off, I'm still sort of interested in what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So
I did read the summaries for the next like three books, just because I was
I thought you were saying
I was like, whoa, summaries, because I was like, where do you go from here? Mm-hmm. There is a 1.5, a novella that is about their honeymoon. There's, it seems like from there on, it is actually just a different girl.
Yeah, it is.
And her barbarian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It kind of makes sense now, though, why there's
I think you'd still get like the further story.
Yeah.
But it's a different girl each time.
So I'll tell you, the second book is Liz's point of view, and she's just been abducted. And that's kind of like, again, that's kind of what the situation is. And then, it's interesting to say the least.
Yeah. Okay. That is interesting. All right. Pacing. How long did it take you to read? It's a super short book.
2 hours max.
It took me 1.5 Harry Potter movies in the background.
Yeah, I think I also read it in one setting. Like, I hope my boss has never listened to this. I mean, I hope my boss has never listened to this for like so many reasons. But I hope they never listen to this specific comment, because I was supposed to be working, but I was working from home. So I was kind of blowing off work. And I was reading it and I was like, you know what? I'll just read for like another hour. And then I'll like, finally, like I only had like three things I needed to do that day. So I was like, I'll just read for another hour and then get on my shit. And I finished the book. I was like, what? I had no idea I was that close to being done.
I'm really zero issues with pacing. Can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, that's really okay. I have like I do have a rant about this, but it's that books have to make the time you spend on them worth it. Mm-hmm. If this book was 800 pages, it would be a 1-star for me.
That's yes.
It's terrible.
That's valid.
Yeah, it's terrible. So you can't draw it out. But the fact that it's so short is like, oh, this is just cutesy. It's fun. You can spend one afternoon or evening doing it. So it's kind of just worth the fuck around. But if it was any longer, it would not be.
Oh, I was going to 100% bring that up, where it's just, it is less than 200 pages. So that easy. It's a novella, basically.
Yeah. Especially.
Yeah. I wonder how long the novella is.
Yeah. I'm not really curious about their honeymoon. No, I'll say that.
I don't need that.
I am curious about some science that's going on here, but you know, not curious enough.
The very convenient science.
Not curious enough.
Right. Okay. No. Of course, would you watch a movie or TV show of this book? Personally, I think the idea of this being put on a legitimate film screen is ridiculous. However, if the adult film industry would like to adapt it, I think that it could really make some money.
I mean, I don't want to see it, but also just for the shits and gigs, I don't think it's adapted.
I mean, I once watched a Hunger Games parody movie. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you could do something like that. But I would not watch it.
So you know how Sharknado actually has like a cult following?
Okay, yeah, it would be like that.
It would be like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we are at our busy girl rating.
It's a 5 for me. I mean, man, it's quick. I want more people to read this book so I can like talk with them about it, because it's such a good conversation starter.
It is. Look, I'm not going to give it a 5. The reason I'm not going to give it a 5 is just because I think I can understand why A, not everyone would enjoy this, and B, why if you don't have a lot of time to read, you don't necessarily want to spend it on something that's so pointless as this. Like, I think it's still like a really good book to pick up just because you waste so little time on it. But look, I get it. Some people, you know, because I'm normally like this, if I read one book, I want it to be a good book. So I'm going to give it a 4 just because of that.
Does she freeze for you too?
No.
Okay, good. Wait, so what was the final rating?
Oh, mine was 4.
Okay. I actually was going to give it a 5. You really can't spend that much time on it. If you're commuting and need a weird audiobook or physical book, sure. God, if you want to numb your brain, why not?
Can you imagine this on audiobook?
No.
Lots of reviews mentioned the audiobook and they quite liked it.
No. I cannot imagine it. I cannot imagine it.
Absolutely not.
Some people like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly, like, did I enjoy it? Not really. I mean, in the sense that it's like a meme, but did I, am I mad I wasted my time on it? Not really.
Wow. Totally fair. How crazy. Well, now we're at the spoiler alert section and I'm really excited to discuss the book. I actually feel like this would be a great book club book because it's just so bizarre. You know, obviously, you know, not the most Christian group of women necessarily would maybe want to discuss this. But, you know, if you have a group of 20-year-old girls, yeah, like us.
Casey's mom has read it.
Yeah.
I would never let my mother listen to this episode. So there you go.
But if you guys, yeah, if you guys have never heard us talk about my mom before, she's the smut queen. She's actually read like every smut book on the internet. So she tells me what smut to read, which is a very interesting relationship to have with your mother.
I hadn't heard about this book until Fiona Murray mentioned it, I don't know, like 2 years ago.
I mentioned it in the podcast a couple of years ago, and I said, I bet Fiona Murray has read Ice Planet Barbarians because I had heard about it. And then she responded, yes, I have.
There it is, guys. Always a trendsetter.
She actually really is. She's like very online. It actually, she's more online than I am.
Oh, same.
Okay.
Same.
Anyway, this happens later in the book, but Caitlin mentioned it in the non-spoiler section, so I feel like we should just go ahead and address it. The only thing that bothered me in this book is its depiction of sexual assault. There's multiple instances of sexual assault in the book. The first is with the original group of aliens who actually abduct the girls. Their overseers are very violent with them and rape several of the girls. And then Victol, I think that's his name, Victol?
Bechtel, whatever. I'm not sure.
Bechtel, yeah. When he first sees Georgie, she's literally disgusting, covered in human feces, and
also unnecessary.
Yeah, that part was actually really weird. Like weird in the weird derogatory. He like undresses her because he's like, what is this creature? And then he like starts going down on her. And I understand why the author did it, because I feel like she was making fun of something that's sort of like a huge sci-fi smut trope. Like I feel like it was like very OG sci-fi to have those kinds of scenes included, but I feel like we've progressed to a point now as a society where we no longer have to pretend that that's funny. So it didn't totally put me off the book, but as I was reading it, I was just kind of like, okay, we don't need to throw sexual assault in the book just because.
Yeah, it felt a little much, especially when you already had the rape scene in the in the first 10% of the book, which was gratuitous.
Horrible.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it made sense for the alleged plot where it's like alien abductors. And if you scream, that's what is your punishment, which is also the fact that they all had a watch. Horrifying.
Honestly, I blacked out that first one. Now I'm remembering it. It has like 2 sexual assault scenes to begin with. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. The good thing is that they don't glorify that first one, because I have a few, like some books do that where they make it, they fetishize it. This was not fetishized in the first one. The second one was.
Yes.
But
it made me cringe.
It made me cringe, but I wasn't like put off by it because I knew that these two characters were probably like gonna end up together. And so I was like, I'm not okay with this, but I already had such low bar expectations of this book, so it couldn't get any lower in my head.
Yeah.
There are a few reasons why I ultimately got over it. The first is that he's obviously like an alien species, so it's kind of like he's not really a human being. Like they do the kind of fae thing where, oh, he's like sort of an animal. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that doesn't really work for me, but whatever. But also, this book is very female gaze. Like, everything is about pleasing the woman. Everything is, like, for Georgie, the main character. And so I kind of let it go just because what really bothers me about sexual assault in novels when it's not thoughtful is that it does feel sort of masculinized. Like, a lot of times, even when it's female authors, it feels like it's just written
for the male gaze, yeah.
For the male gaze still. And this, even though it was like very objectively sexual assault, felt like it was written for the female gaze. And I was like, I'm having a really bizarre reaction to this, but I guess I'm just going to get over it. The thing I will critique, though, is everyone being like, oh my God, they're so cute. They're so cute. No, I'm sorry. He sexually assaulted her. I'm willing to accept it in book form just for, like, for the bit, but let's be real about what that was.
Also, I'm sorry. It's kind of like the nodding thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I could enjoy Bride without the nodding. This one, you can't. There is nothing without the alien sex. And I just cannot get over the giant blue horned man with ridges everywhere and a tail. Like,
ridges, a tail, suede like skin.
Different numbers of fingers and toes. I'm like, I don't know.
And then a spur.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to mention. What got me is the spur.
I was like, what's the point of that?
But I loved it. I loved it. Oh my God, because it's literally just to like rub on the girl. Yeah. I was like, wow, literally men designed for female pleasure.
Oh, no, it's literally that part. I was like, okay, you go, girl. I see what you want. But the rest of it, I'm like, I just can't get into it, or else I may have enjoyed the book more. If that was like a sexy fae man on an ice planet, that would be more my vibe, you know?
Right. But it's I do feel like this book, it's a very sexual book, but reading it was not a sexual experience for me.
No.
Even though that's like the point of the book, like it is smut, it was just like, it's not sexual to me. Like, it was about sex, but it wasn't sexual.
It is for some people.
It wasn't sexy to me. Mm-hmm. It was funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, I have a very dark humor is what I'm getting from.
Some people, a lot of the reviews that give it a high rating are rating it that way for the romance.
Which did? Okay.
This I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. Oh, this is something I noticed when I was looking at the reviews that I wanted to call out earlier and I just forgot. But there were one-star reviews that I was reading it and I was like, okay, some of you people need to stop taking it so serious. Like, you don't have to write a literary review of this book. It obviously doesn't deserve it. I don't even know how you're writing this much about a book that says so little. And then some of the 5 stars, I felt the same way. I was like, guys, we don't need to be taking this book so serious. Like, there was one review I read that was like, this is just great craft. And I was like,
no, it's not. Okay,
no, it's not.
There are people like, this is my favorite couple. And I'm like,
no.
Okay, sure.
You know, I mean, there was no chemistry really at all. Like, there's no actual physical interactions between the two of them outside of their sex.
So, yeah, she wakes up to him eating her out. and she's like, oh, I kind of like it. And then she's like, well, maybe if it gets him to go get my friends faster, I'll just have sex with him. And he's like, yes, we're mated. And she's like, we're not mated. And then he discloses like 75% in that his parasite only sings for someone who's fertile, like he could reproduce with. And she's like, well, shit, guess I'm pregnant. Guess I'm staying. And I'm like, A, you've been there less than a week. How do you already know you're late and pregnant? So first of all,
that part. No.
But also, like, does that make it okay?
It's been like 2 days since you met this guy and you think you're pregnant already. Like,
Sexual assault and then the ending up with a baby. Killed me.
I normally do not like baby tropes or like parenthood tropes and stuff like that. I give this book an exception because I actually think it works out well in this novel, because the whole idea is that they're, both of the, their species essentially got stranded on this planet and they had to learn to survive. So it does kind of make sense for the alien parasite to try and pair you up in order to continue the species or continue.
Okay,
the
but all the other girls are going to say, well, if you're pregnant, guess we're okay with it happening to us too. We'll stay.
Well, I mean, yes. I'm not going to, like, go into in-depth
literary those were like, things I could not get past to...
Fair.
Was the book funny? Yeah, it was hilarious. Mostly because it's not good. I'm sorry. But it was, like, funny because of that. And I just couldn't get past those few things to give it anything higher because they were so, so cringy. I couldn't recover.
Yeah. I will defend it a little. So, yes, it is still sexual assault. But also, it was very deliberately written as a joke. Like, the whole thing, because she's, like, wakes up.
The second one, not the first one.
The first one was, like, legit. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm talking about the one with Vectral. Because then she, you know, I mean, it's just the way it's written is so ridiculous.
That's so on the nose, you have to laugh at it.
Yeah, it's funny. That's where the line, it was a monster come to eat me. It wasn't a monster come to eat me. It was this monster come to eat me out. That's like where it's from, right? Like she's like making fun of it. So it's kind of like silly.
And it's then, like slapstick comedy.
It's slapstick comedy. And then the girl's like, oh, well, I mean, it does feel good. Like, might as well let him
also,
finish.
She is not a girl's girl, okay? She's just, like, enjoying this alien stuff, and all these other girls are dying.
Well, yeah, all these girls are dying. They don't have food. They don't have access to shelter. And she's just like, I'll just go off with this alien.
Yeah. She's like, we'll just have sex. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
Objectively, everyone's horrible humans in this. Yeah.
But, okay, so after we move on from that... Vectel does respect her boundaries. So
I was like, okay, slay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's in a very compromising position. He's like, you know, he's an alien, but he does respect her boundaries. Even when she tells him she's thinking about leaving the planet, he's like willing to let her go. It's like Georgie's fault that for some reason she didn't think she could get pregnant. I was like, I mean, I'm not a biologist.
I mean, the second she said, it's okay, we're interspecies, I don't need to be on the pill, I was like, well, you know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's very well set up. And I also normally hate the baby trope, but I liked it in this book. I like it even more knowing that every book is from a different girl's perspective, because it's just like, we don't need to come back here, right? Like, the whole point is that we're just going to tie it up in a bow and, like, send them on their way.
I will say one other thing that was just this little, like, I don't know, holy trinity of things I could not get over. The fact that suddenly they find the ship and they can all learn each other's languages. I was like,
laser in the eye.
It's only interesting because they didn't understand each other.
I know. Oh. I actually loved the miscommunications that they were having.
Yes. I was like, that's the only merit it has right now. And then magically they could all understand each other.
Yeah, just get a laser in your eye and then you can understand everyone's language. It's crazy to me.
Did make me cringe. However, I will say that trope actually appears in tons of science fiction and very serious science fiction at that. I actually think SJM had something like that happen, or like, it doesn't matter. Yes. I'm just saying.
So
as stupid and cringe.
Project Hail Mary includes this.
Yes. It's
they never magically learn each other's language.
No, she resolved it in a very convenient way.
Yeah. It's just, but that's the book, because it's silly. This book made me laugh so much because it's so
ridiculous.
It's unserious.
Yeah.
And it is funny. Like, some of the lines are actually witty and creative. And
yes, because they're so just like, oh, you did write that. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
also
getting
it. I want to say, we never learn anything, like almost zero things about any of the girls' backstories.
Yes.
Like, Georgie gets abducted. Yeah. Georgie gets abducted, and she doesn't even mourn her old life. Then, like, the book and the book logic in this book is so good. And then she brings back her, like, alien boyfriend, and she's like, yeah, we're, like, having sex now. And the other girls are like, oh, all right, you go, girl.
I do think it was okay because they were just so far past hope to return home that they're kind of like, whatever works, you know?
Right.
So that was very realistic. Also, I will give the author credit for the world building. I thought it was unique. I could picture it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Granted, it was mostly just snow, but, you know, there were some, like, creatures she came up with that were, like, described, and also their little cave thing they lived in. I was like, okay, sure.
I mean, the parasite, very creative.
Yeah.
Also extremely convenient, but...
Yes. And, like, honestly, for as little time as you spent in the book, you had a good idea where you were at.
You did. You did. No, she got a lot of bang for her buck. She said, look, this is going to be 200 pages, so we're doing this the fast and easy way. And I said, all right. Okay, anyway, sorry to just, we got so derailed at this point, but yes, the way that these alien men are supposed to look is freaky. I honestly just, in my head, just kept picturing them as blue velvety men because I just didn't have it in my power to, like, picture anything else.
Yep.
But also Avatar.
Avatar, 7 foot tall velvet men.
Exactly. That's exactly
what I pictured. It actually made it easier if I didn't picture the horns. I just, that was too
far. Yeah, I kind of ignored that part.
Yeah. So I think we can probably get to the point. So Georgie and the other girls, Georgie is definitely the main character. And she is, like, as Caitlin said, not a girl's girl. She's an insufferable person. I mean, she's stupid, but she's written like she's the brave, smart one, which is just so funny because she's not smart.
She's like the drunk girl who goes out with no coat when it's 10 degrees out.
Yes. Yes. Well,
she like really brave for bad reasons.
Yeah. Like she is coined the leader of this group because she's the only one willing to like actually yell at the aliens.
And has like the least broken limbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of the decision making on that.
Right. But what did you think of the other girls? Most of them aren't super developed, but we do spend time with them.
I mean, the reason why I picked up book two is because I liked Liz, because I thought she was like snarky and witty and interesting, because like I think she was the only one who was basically saying like, this is a fucked up situation. And
also, I'm pretty sure Liz was like a Texan. So, of course, you.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was all like, just like on the farm. I was like, that's my girl.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have, if she didn't have a broken leg, she would have been the better person to go out and hunt for survival stuff. And then I also liked Kiara, who had the ear implant. Who had the ear implant. Because I'm very curious.
She already had the ear implant. So you made it too easy by then giving everyone else the ability to understand each other.
Well, the blue aliens needed to understand the humans.
Yeah, they're trying to mate Caitlin. They have to get each other.
It clearly worked for Georgie without understanding each other. So.
Yeah, it actually was funny. Also, it was very funny hearing, because the book switches perspectives. I don't think we've talked about that yet, but we actually get Vectel's perspective.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually an interesting choice, and I did like it.
It helped with the misunderstanding each other thing.
Yes.
Yeah, but the misunderstanding, because then you hear what English sounds like to him, and then you hear what like his alien language sounds like to her, and it's just funny.
Yeah, that was creative. I would like to shout out Dominique. She's the only real one.
Which one is she?
The one who gets raped and then runs into the snow to die.
Oh. Caitlin!
Saying. That girl's the only one who really understand her circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she had an objectively terrible time on the ship, and I can understand why she wanted to do that. Because they're also just starving, waiting for Georgie to be done having her little mini honeymoon with Vectel. And I'll say that for Liz, too. If they had sent Liz, that bitch would have come back, all right? She would have been riding her man's like a horse back to them, so.
Right. And she would have figured out how to work the gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Period.
All joking aside, I'm just saying, at least the author had the courage to write one girl who responded not with just being okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is part of the book's, like, humor almost, is that all of this insane shit keeps happening, and every character's just like, oh, I guess that's how life is now. Which is funny, but yeah.
Well, and three girls die in the book.
Yep.
A couple of them on impact, and then Dominique in the snow. I was like, all right, that was kind of dark for a book that's so kind of funny. Oh,
it was gruesome at times.
It was
the description. Well, and the human feces everywhere. Unnecessary, but realistic, I guess.
It is realistic.
Like, if they're pooping in a bucket and they crash land, it's not going to stay on the ground.
Yeah, it's everywhere now.
It's nasty, but...
Right.
Realistic, thanks, I guess.
And it also makes
I wanted realism.
Right. Oh, another thing I liked is, so again, it's really convenient. Like in a regular book, it would all be too easy and fit together too well, and it would be annoying. But in this book, I liked that the author actually did make a reason as to why Vectral and his people would want the humans. Because you think, okay, normally a group of like, you know, there's like 30 total, including the pod girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. Normally a group of alien species lands, like any group of people would be extremely suspicious of them. And they have never seen them before and they don't speak the language. And then it's crazy. So the author actually does like make this story to where Vectral's tribe, I guess you would call it, has like actually extreme incentive to want them around, which makes the book actually would make way more sense, because they're like, we don't have enough adult women in our tribe. Like there's too many men and not enough women. And so this actually solves like our population problem and our loneliness issue, where there's just not any people for our men to like have romantic relationships with. And I was like, well, that makes sense. Like, yeah. Like that's why they want them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the parasite was like the best of the writing basically of this book, or like the putting together this book. Can't even call it writing. but like the parasite having like, because there's a lot of nitrogen in the air, you die if you don't have this parasite in you. It allows you to basically endure the cold temperatures. But then also because, you know, human evolution and evolution in general, like you want your species to last. So it just was kind of like a convenient way to discuss like evolution and keeping a species alive. And I thought that was very interesting for this book of like how we got from point A to point B.
It did not explain, though, which my logic brain was like, how did they first discover this parasite was in this giant thing that they wouldn't normally kill because it's so big?
I'm going to guess it's the superhuman space computer that was in their ship.
Yeah, I think they
say we're just going to go with it. She solved all the problems.
Right. No, I think they say that she told them to kill it, which I was also...
I don't know, because it talks about how like most of the people die before they figure this out.
Right. Also true. Well, I couldn't tell you, but I also don't really care.
Same.
Yeah. Superhuman was funny too, because she was just like had all the answers and you were just like, oh, great.
She's like, hold on, let me switch to the other language, whatever.
Yeah.
They crash landed here and he's a mixed species or whatever. And you're like, okay, girl, why don't you tell them all the people that have been in that cave before that?
Right. yeah. Well, the book ends on a cliffhanger. So Liz, our queen, has been abducted by this sort of rowdy member of Vectral's tribe. And he's carrying her away. And we're all actually kind of concerned for her. Because it seems
I'm not. Liz can hold her own.
Well, that's what you're like supposed to be concerned, because he's like supposed to be this like really aggressive like member of the group. So you're like, oh my God, is he going to try to, you know, take liberties with her? But we know Liz, and it's kind of set up that they, you know, she's going to put him in his place. So
they're also all written like cinnamon roll boys. So
yeah. Yeah.
As someone who's read the second book, he's even more of a cinnamon roll guy than Vectral.
Well, that it's tough to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, guys. Let's wrap this up. What are your book recommendations?
I've got no fucking clue.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, no.
Let me go through.
I mean, if you want another sci-fi, can't speak the same language kind of thing, like I mentioned, Project Hail Mary, but my God, they are vastly different books.
Yeah, those are not comparable at all.
They have a similar thing that happens. That's all I've got.
Well, yeah. Aliens, I guess. I'm trying to think. I definitely don't have a book to recommend. Okay, this is a really weird recommendation, but so Jennifer's Body is a kind of like absurdist horror movie. It's very different. It's not about aliens. It's not science fiction, but it has the same, it has an all-star cast, first of all, and it's like a super iconic movie. So if you like campy movies, you'll love it. But it has that sort of bizarre, ridiculous storyline that doesn't make sense, like characters and relationships that don't make sense, but it's like all on purpose and it's just really ridiculous. Also, if you haven't seen the new Scream, also super campy horror, the new Scream movie with Jennifer Ortega is like absolutely insane and crazy, and it's so bad that it's good. So if you just want more media that's so bad it's good, those are my two recommendations.
I guess I'm gonna recommend the OG crazy novel that we read for this podcast, Bride. OG crazy
that
romance.
That seems so sane compared to this one.
I know, but that, I mean, at the time, that was the
a weird paranormal romance that you're like, I don't know if I can get behind it, but some people were like, okay, I see this anatomy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a ride, guys.
I know. Okay, rate and review our podcast 5 stars. That's all we're talking about.
We deserve that after this episode.
I say yes. Because you know what? We read it just so we could talk to them about it.
That's true. You give us viral books. We read them. Promise delivered.
I before we go, I want to ask, is there anything that you felt like you wanted to read more about in this book, like going forward? Because the one thing I want to know, alien pregnancy and birth. Okay, what the fuck's gonna happen?
That was what I said at the beginning. There were some science things. I was like, I don't know.
I'm very curious how you birth a 7-foot baby.
Well, I was more interested in then when they reproduce, how does that fit into the gene pool going forward?
Right.
Yeah.
Logic brain. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Also, since they're long lived, are the girls going to die first? Or does the little parasite help them? And also, were all the men just waiting for the children to grow up so they could reproduce with their friends' children? Question marks.
Ew, don't say it like that.
That's a vibe I got.
Well, their tribe was just going to die. I mean, Vectral says that, like, that they was like, they knew doomsday was going to come because they couldn't, like, reproduce enough.
But there were some children around.
There were. Yeah.
And that's all boys, though. But they never said.
Right. Well, I couldn't tell you. I am honestly curious just to get more of the interspecies relationships and to see more love stories between these two groups of people, because it's such a bizarre circumstance. I'm also interested just to learn more about the tribe and how it functions, because you actually do get a lot of snippets about how they actually live. And I'm curious to learn more just about what life on this ice planet is. And if the aliens really gave up.
Oh, no. The preview for the third book says they haven't.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Since we're already on spoilers, you've read this one. The third one is Kira.
Yeah.
And her secret is, I still have the translator in my ear, and I think the aliens can track us through it. That's the summary for the book, so.
And she also deals with infertility.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, should I fall in love or am I a plague? Because I can get the aliens here that abducted us originally.
Wow.
And that's all in the little book jacket thing.
Yep.
Fascinating. Anyway, I think now we're done. So rate and review our podcast 5 stars, please. We did it for you, so I'm begging. And if you have more to say, we'd love to hear from you. More books to recommend, we'd love to hear those recommendations. You can do so at Busy Girls Pod. Also, we have busygirls.com, where you can find our recommendations for this book and more. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.